I heard my mother-in-law got me involved in all sorts of civic work within a year of the time Dwight and I were married. And so I had done volunteer. See, my major was a social worker,
mm-hmm.
and I had worked for the county charities until I was married. So the only thing I have, I think that I missed being on the board was for the YMCA. I managed to serve on that. But everything else, Red Cross and the Scouts and Women Volunteer, the Catholic Charities, I think I was a board member of the Travelers Aid for about 20 years. So during the war, I worked 3 days a week, volunteer, from early in the morning until evening, as a, you know, kind of visitor that someone was sick and there were women with children and their husbands were a field worker, just like a visitor.
You called for
the Red Cross, see?
People?
Yes, 3 days a week. And because Dwight always worked Saturday night, I went on duty in the evening for the AWBS they had a little kind of a cubbyhole thing, about the size of a telephone booth on the oceanfront between Pine and Locust. And so I worked there from all Saturday afternoons and until about 11 o'clock at night. And then on some weekends, when they were having something special going on down at the servicemen's bureau, that's on Ocean, and I think that's about Linden, between Elm and... Well, in that area, I've forgotten now exactly. So I only had one day at home, and of course I had a colored woman to clean and take care of the nephews and nieces, and they were left with me and so on. She worked for me for 33 years.
Yeah.
But during that time, she went to work as a cleaning woman in the big offices. So I didn't have any help during that time, and my gardener had to go to war, and you couldn't find anyone, so I had get Dwight to mow the lawn. Sometimes he'd be mowing the lawn in the middle of the night. But I didn't have, about one day a week, I took time out and didn't volunteer on that day for anything. Because I'd go to that would be on a Wednesday, because Dwight had to go to Los Angeles on Wednesday night for a meeting, and I would go up and be with my mother and grandmother in Los Angeles on those days. They had no way shopping. They didn't have the car, because Frank and Mary didn't live in Los Angeles anymore. They lived down here. He was with the ILC. So they just didn't have transportation for the things that you just have to have a car for.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed that, the work with that. I particularly enjoyed the visiting and that sort of thing of it's kind of a charity deal.
Yeah.
I got in the doghouse with the Navy, though. One of the women that I had been, she had pleurisy, and it was during, they were having a lot of that, children get it, and a lot of people are deformed or crippled for life afterwards. What did they
have? Polio?
Huh? Polio? Well, she, her landlady called me and said she had three small children, and this woman, she thought had polio because she couldn't move and she was suffering so and so on. So I called the Navy, for a doctor to go see her. Well, they were so busy, they wanted to know how about it, and I said, I have not seen the woman, but she is a tenant in a private home where there are three small children, and the landlady wants her out of there. And I said, could you see that someone? I said, I'm not a nurse, so I don't know what it is, but they are afraid at the at her house where she lives that it is polio. So they didn't get out there until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I left at 5. So I kept calling at intervals to find out what it was for the landlady. Well, so about 5 o'clock, they went out and got this woman and took her to the hospital, so that the woman was, the landlady was no longer worried, but they looked over the children, and all the children seemed to be perfectly all right. Well, I don't know what time they examined the woman after they got her to the hospital, but when they found out that it was just pleurisy, it wasn't TB, polio at all. So the doctor called up, and he wanted to speak to that woman who said that there was a polio patient and needed hospitalization. Well, as I had explained to them before, I wasn't a nurse, and I had not seen the woman, and I couldn't, because I was the intake, as they called it, at the Red Cross, on the telephone, and all these cases came to me, and then I was supposed to refer them to the proper department.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm glad she didn't have it.
I'm glad she didn't have it, but boy, was that doctor, I don't know whether it was a doctor or not, but somebody they had there in the post office, you know, the upper floors. I think the three top floors were maybe at that time. Mm-hmm. It was during the war.
Yeah.
So.
When did you move out to this home
in 54. We've lived here. We lived in the other place from 22 to 54, and then we bought this place in the spring. Stern and Pillsbury's sister built the house, and but didn't like to live here. Her mother gave her the property, and the same architect that built Pillsbury's place out in Country Club Drive built this place. Well, she said this was lonely, and she didn't like it. She liked to live in the Valmont Naples district.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was worried after the earthquake because she thought that they might have a tidal wave down there and they wouldn't be able to get out if they had. So this place was built, I think, immediately, very close to after the earthquake, after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Dr. McCallum, who was associated with Stir, bought the place, and his family lived here. Well, they had more children after they moved here, and his father, Mac's father, and his mother and aunt were afraid to live alone. So they moved out into this little house, too. So that's why they built those two bench-like things in the living room. There was Mac and his wife and the three children and the maid and the mother and nothing on the aunt.
Oh, wow.
This was a porch. And so they boarded it up across here. After we moved here, we had the roof extended 2 feet, and so it's big enough. It's a formal dining room.
Yes.
And then we had the they had just boarded.
Maybe you better just tell me about it, and then we can look at it later.
Okay. we had a playroom built down below, the same size as our living room. And so it has more, considerably more room than it had then. So in the, they had to have a larger place, so they bought a place down on Naples, in the, right on the ocean, almost down to the end of the walk there. So I was quite unhappy when I found that McCallums were going to buy this place, because I thought I'd like this, and at that time the clerks had moved down here, and the Buttons had moved down here. We all lived close together in Belmont Heights. So they said, oh, you must come on down, and Seal Beach is the place to live. So as soon as this, Stuart told us immediately when Mac was going to sell, and so we bought it from them. I don't know how long they lived here, and I don't know how long Sterling's sister lived here, and I really don't know when the house was built. But Ginger came out. She was a good friend of my neighbor next door, Minnie Williams. So she came here all about, I guess it's March or April. That tree was kind of, this was all there was to an entrance, you see. Mm-hmm. This little porch. Well, it's so much more livable to have this, because when you see, there was, we couldn't put this all in glass, so it, the room is quite light. Well, I've had this top put on recently, because it's, you see, when you came today, we were in the shade here, but without that, if it's hot, the cement draws the heat, and so that's why I have so many plants in here. It has a tendency to keep it cooler.
Well, Nancy says you're quite a gardener, too.
Oh, yes. The beach is all sand. There was nothing, they put the fence in, and then there was a kind of a zigzag with some petrostums planted along by the fence. Well, I began working on the sand, and all the clippings and things I had stayed under in the sand, so that now the trees and are enormous, are big down there. I have to keep them thin like this is, so that you can see out. And I took out half of the petrostums and planted them on the outside of my lot. Well, my water bills were high enough anyway without my beginning to garden over there, and I found that, see, these are deep lots. This is all I can take care of. But there wasn't, as I say, there was some of the planting there I moved from here to there after I had this put in. But the lawn was in, but when I had this cement put in, I had it level with this so that a wheelchair can come right out on a level and goes right out, and it slopes this way. I was vice president and had charge of the new members of the for the assistance league, and we had a party for them, one of my assistants. And it rained while they were here, and I had to take them out through the garage and out that way, because there was about 3 inches of water clear up to this first step. You see, it was, well, there was, this was a little piece of cement like this, and then there was a good deep step down here, and it was clear up on this, from that. We had a flash flood here for a few minutes. I mean, there's a hard pan very close to the surface, and now you see there's water standing out there now from the length of time I had let the water run. I can only let it run actually about 20 minutes before it begins to fill up.
Were you one of the original members of the assistant league?
No, Francis Huffman and I were the first provisionals.
Oh.
They organized, they had to have provisions right away, so there were 11 names. The Hargroves were here for a long time, and, yes. I can't remember. I think there were five or six of us here. Were the provisions, and we were we became provisions about 2 to 3 months after it was organized.
Okay. What year was that? Do you remember?
Huh?
What year was that? About
35, I think.
Okay. So you've been on the board for the assistant
league? Oh, yes. But when I was due to go in as president, my mother-in-law took very ill, and it was difficult to get anyone to live in as a housekeeper.
Yes.
And and that's the same year that they wanted me to be the chairman for the Red Cross. So a person can only do so many things, so much. After the war, housing was very difficult. And my mother, my grandmother died. My mother was alone in Los Angeles. So Jack and I had our mother, Mrs. Mack, still had some of the ranch property, the Sargent Ranch property up in the central part of the state. So we had her. And she never, maybe go up once in 2 years or something. And people rented it, this ranch, for supposedly grazing land for their sheep and their cattle. Well, we found that they were raising grain and everything and selling it as well as, and they were, their report was that they didn't make enough off of it this year. But she wasn't getting anything out of it at all, but the tenants that were leasing it to. So, and they didn't, they were usually about 8 or 10 months behind in their rent. So, we had her sell that, and we had Mom sell her place. Mother lived at 3rd and Gramercy in Los Angeles, in a corner lot, and it was a big one, a nice piece of property for, like condominiums and things of that sort. So, then we found a four-family flat down here so that both women could have their own apartment, their flat, they were flats, and then they had the rental from the one upstairs.
Oh, I see.
And there wasn't quite enough money that the mothers had, so that and I filled out the bank, and then they were both getting along in years, and I took care of the taxes and the painting and the things that had to be done. They were nice places. At that time, we finished the refrigeration. We had electric refrigeration outside and supplied that to them. But it was old enough that a water heater would go bad or a tank would burst. The water about 2 o'clock in the morning always, and so and they rented to most of the time to the elderly people too, and I'll be doggone not one of those people were ever able to put in the fuse and they'd get too much electricity on the line and then they'd blow a fuse, then they'd call. And come on, we don't have any light in the living room, or we don't have any light in the bedroom, or the water heater, or something's leaking in the bathroom, and I'm afraid it's going down in the apartment below.
So you had quite a few problems being a landlord.
Oh, being a landlord for about 7 or 8 years. No, maybe it was longer than that. I don't know. But I finally told, a lot of the stuff was during the day so that I had two very good handymen on my list at that time, so that I would call them. But Dwight didn't have the leisure to do that sort of thing, so it involved getting somebody to to do to take care of it, and to pay the gardener, and, you know, there are a million and one things.
Yes.
Yet it's a cult for your attention. And all this stuff is at the same time, so I didn't take the presidency of it. I'd had just enough experience as the landlady that I knew how many things could go wrong with a clubhouse.
So you're still actively working up at the stroke center?
Oh, yes, I'm still working at the stroke center, and I drive from here from Hills, too.
That's marvelous.
Well, I enjoy the people, and Connie Ryman is my visitor, and she was a league member, and we have many acquaintances and things in common.
Yes.
So Mondays are kind of an old get-together day.
Oh,
so
we
enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. McFadden. I appreciate you taking all the time to talk with me. I think you tell lots of things that will be a day.
Well, I don't know. As I say, 3 years of my school, you know, my high school, I was not here in the wintertime. And in the summertime, there was always the beach and the finishing girl. And then my aunt and uncle took me on trips in the summertime. And they'd open their house so that I could have house parties up there, and I really didn't spend much time in Long Beach, and of course the girls that I had would be maybe one or two from Long Beach, but most of them would be some of the girls from school, you know. So, and you know, camping trips and things. There didn't seem to be any dull moments. I never at any time felt that, what shall I do? It's a minute to say, well, what shall I do? I don't know what to do. You know, something.